Vice President J.D. Vance promoted President Donald Trump's tax cuts during a visit to La Crosse. It's Friday, August 29th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a new report suggests the state's economy may be slowing in 2025. And the answer to a listener's Wisconsin question about a particular type of toilet. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Vice President J.D. Vance told a crowd in La Crosse yesterday that President Donald Trump's tax cuts will invigorate manufacturing in Wisconsin. Speaking to workers at Mid-City Steel, Vance said Trump's signature law cuts taxes on tips and overtime, and it gives businesses the incentives to grow in the U.S.
It let you keep more money in your pocket. It rewarded you for building a business or working at a business right here in the United States of America. It makes it easy for you to take home more of your hard-earned pay, and it makes it easier. If you're an American manufacturer or an American business, it makes it easier for you to build your facility or expand your facility right here in the United States of America.
This was Vance's first stop in Wisconsin since last year's campaign. That's when he made repeated trips to La Crosse. In a written statement, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Devin Remiker called the trip a, quote, blatant PR stunt to cover up the, quote, devastation caused by Trump's signature law. Wisconsin has record highs in both the number of jobs in the state and the median wage. But as Joe Schultz reports, there are signs that the economy is softening.
A new report from a labor-focused economic think tank at UW-Madison shows Wisconsin's median wage hit a record high of $25 per hour in 2024, and the state reached a record high number of jobs in July. But the report says there are signs that the economy is cooling. Laura Dresser is an economist with the think tank. She says job growth so far this year has been weak.
The story of 2025 for both Wisconsin and the United States is that we see the growth really cooling off. The production of jobs is down.
The report also says federal policies around tariffs and cuts to the social safety net could make life more expensive for the working class. Tariffs could cost the average household more than $2,000 annually. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The former University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Washington County campus will be sold to a Christian school and land conservation group. Ozaukee Christian School and the Cedar Lakes Conservation Foundation will purchase the building and surrounding 80 acres for $3 million. The campus has been vacant since June of 2024. Upkeep has cost the county about $900,000 a year. The deal has divided the community. Christina Miller lives in Slinger. She says the county should be selling the property for more money and to an entity that will pay taxes.
The lack of transparency through this whole process is a huge red flag. It's turned into more about Josh is attempting to use public taxpayer funds to give like a discount to a private organization.
During a meeting this week, County Executive Josh Showman told the county board that the deal is the best use for the property. Vice President J.D. Vance's trip to La Crosse yesterday is just the latest high-profile visit to Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. It's one of the nation's most competitive U.S. House seats. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk was there. She spoke about the significance of the event with Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson.
So, Anya, you were in La Crosse to see Vice President J.D. Vance speak about President Trump's signature tax bill. What was it like, and what was his message?
Yeah, so he was at this metal fabrication shop speaking to about 250 people, including steel workers. And so the focus was especially on what that bill, sometimes called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, would mean for American manufacturing. The Trump argument is that all of these changes to tax code mean it'll be easier for business owners to keep jobs in America. There was a cut in there on taxes for overtime work, and that kind of thing is really aimed at hourly workers. He also talked a lot about immigration. That law has a lot of spending on border security. And so he kind of worked to connect the dots between deporting people here without authorization and maintaining healthcare systems. That is obviously in opposition to what Democrats are pointing to within the bill, which includes huge cuts to Medicaid and food assistance. They say Trump policies are driving up costs for regular people, and analyses do show that the tax cuts overall disproportionately help the highest earners.
And Vance actually took questions from local reporters about Wisconsin issues. What stood out from those?
So the last few weeks, the biggest new Trump policy has been the activation of armed National Guard troops throughout Washington, D.C. And he signed an executive order earlier this week to expand his authority to authorize Guard units. And he's also flirted with the idea of sending troops to places like Chicago. So a big question at this event was, could Milwaukee see Guard troops on its streets? That's after there's been this spike in violent crime in downtown Milwaukee this summer. And Vance didn't really answer that directly. He said the federal government wants to be invited to come in and lock up violent criminals. So he was kind of speaking in broader terms about basically saying he thinks there is federal authority to come into cities.
Yeah, let's give a listen to part of his answer. This was Vice President J.D. Vance when asked whether National Guard troops could come to Milwaukee.
We would love to come and help the people of Milwaukee, but the President of the United States has said he wants to be asked. And that has been his consistent line from the very beginning.
So this wasn't Vance's first time in Wisconsin by a long shot. He made repeated visits here last year, including to La Crosse. But that's when he was on the ballot in a presidential election year. It's now August of 2025. So why was he there now?
Yeah, this was definitely gave me some deja vu of election season, getting swept by Secret Service and listening to the pump up music before the rally. But you are right. He is not on the ballot. And there is not an election in November. What there is an election next November. And Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden, who happens to represent the district where La Crosse is, Wisconsin's third congressional district, he is on that ballot. And I think the fact that the vice president is here 14 months in advance of that race tells you a lot about how competitive this seat is.
Yeah, it kind of feels like this is something we're going to have to get used to. There are signs of that from Democrats, too, right?
Oh, yeah. There will be a Democratic primary for that seat. So campaigning looks a little different compared to Republicans who know that they are backing incumbent Van Orden. So the National Democratic Party apparatus hasn't thrown its weight behind any one candidate specifically. Right now, they're really focused on targeting Derek Van Orden himself. But the leading Democratic candidate, Rebecca Cook, it's her third race. She declared like 5 minutes into this year. She's been running all year long, and she's raised a ton of money already. And she also already has some really prominent supporters, notably Bernie Sanders, who was in this district just last weekend. So all in all, this is considered one of the U.S. House races to watch. It's one that Democrats especially have their eye on as they try to regain power in Congress. So I think we'll be heading to a lot more of these kinds of events out in western Wisconsin over the next year plus.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, a WPR listener asked why some older Midwest homes have basement toilets. The answer is coming up. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with the answer to a listener's Wisconsin question about a very particular type of toilet.
The toilet has been a common fixture in American homes since the early 20th century. That's when it went from being a feature in wealthy people's homes to a public health necessity for everyone. As people began to install toilets in more pre-World War II working class homes, Some put in basement toilets that stick out like a sore thumb. They often lack privacy and can be in odd locations, like at the foot of the stairs. These curiosities led a WPR listener to reach out to our Wisconsin project. Jessica Hopp of Madison asked, why do so many older homes in Wisconsin have an exposed toilet sitting in the unfinished basement? What's the story behind the Midwestern toilet?
We saw a lot of really old Wisconsin homes over the course of the next year. And the first time we walked into an unfinished basement and saw the lone solo toilet just there with no walls around it, we laughed so hard. We'd never seen anything like that before.
Hopp wound up buying a home built in 1906. And as you can probably guess, it has a basement toilet.
Put on my shoes here. Okay, down the steep, dangerous stairs we go. As a physical therapist, these stairs give me nightmares. So I'm standing in the stairway, right? And so I'm going to turn and show you this is the first thing you see down the stairs. Yeah. And there's the toilet right next to the tool bench.
An article published in 2022 explored Milwaukee's basement toilet phenomenon, suggesting there are reasons for their strange placements.
This is Bobby Tanzillo. I'm the senior editor and senior writer at onmilwaukee.com.
Tanzillo says his research turned up different explanations for why the basement toilets came to exist in many older working class homes.
One of the reasons for this toilet is that it's not the one that people like to think about, but it's the one that seems to probably be the real origin of this. Before there were floor drains, they wanted to have a basement receptacle where if water were to back up from the sewer, it would not back up into your house, it would back up into the basement.
Tanzillo also found that the basement was an affordable space to install plumbing, leading to the home's first toilet. It was also a place where someone could go after work to get cleaned up. There are occasionally showers near the basement toilet. Tanzillo says the basement toilets are not unique to Milwaukee or even the Midwest. In fact, they're often referred to as Pittsburgh potties because of their prevalence in western Pennsylvania.
UW-Milwaukee architecture professor emeritus Thomas Hubka says the toilets exist in homes across the country, but are more prevalent in the East and Midwest since they are more likely to have a basement. He says basement toilets built before World War II in Wisconsin likely exist in more urban areas.
In rural Wisconsin, there are going to be few basement toilets like this. It's not one of the things that is part of the ethos of farm life in some ways, going into the basement to clean up or something like that. That's half the state. In 1900, half the state of Wisconsin is farms. So within the urban small town context, here we have the basement toilet.
The Madison home Jessica Hopp lives in has an exposed toilet near the foot of the basement stairs.
I thought it was a little silly, but as this is a one bathroom home and we have a teenager who often has a gaggle of other teenagers over, having a second toilet is delightful. So people end up using it all the time.
This story on basement toilets was written and produced by WPR's John Davis of La Crosse. And this is a bit of a full circle moment. John edited my first radio feature years ago as a college student, and now I have the honor of editing his final story. After a long, distinguished career in journalism, John is retiring from Wisconsin Public Radio. He served as a reporter, producer, and newsmaker's talk show host out of La Crosse for nearly 40 years. During that time, he held those in power accountable and shined a light on the innovative and inspiring things happening in Southwest Wisconsin. John, thank you so much for your work, friendship, and mentorship through these years. We'll miss you so much. Enjoy retirement, and go Brewers. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell & Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And finally, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast on this long weekend. Frost advisory in effect for far northern Wisconsin until 8 this morning. Otherwise, a mix of sunshine and clouds with rain early on today and highs in the 60s and 70s. Rain clearing up overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Highs in the 70s with sunshine on both Saturday and Sunday. And for Labor Day, mostly sunny still with highs in the 70s once again. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Courtney Everett and John Davis. Speaking of which, shout out to John Davis. Today is his last day with us here at WPR. He is heading into retirement. Thank you so much for all you've done for us, John, here at WPR. That'll do it for this Friday. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic long weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.